Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Sitting in front of me now in this physical room for the first time in 2021 is the one and only Beyonce of Derry. It is Aoife Moore, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner. Hello, Aoife.
Good morning. How are you?
You are a sight for sore eyes, Aoife. I am so happy to see you.
I don't know if Beyonce would wear panties, leggings, and DRT, but the Beyonce of Derry does, so...
The Beyonce of Derry makes her own rules. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to do what you want to
Garrett
do.
Boss.
Okay, we've got loads to talk about. As always, I feel like I never introduce this segment anymore. We just get launched into it. But the idea behind this is that if you have switched off from the news during the week, which is your right, we like to give you a little catch up so that you feel like you're in the know. So Aoife's going to bring us through the week's news. And as always, we need to start with COVID. How are we doing?
Yeah, same as usual. Now, the last couple of weeks, we have some good news. So we're down to 313 new cases, which is pretty low. They said that this is because, obviously, of the vaccine rollout. By Sunday, they expect that 2/3 of the adult population will have their first dose of the vaccine and 1/3 will be fully vaccinated. Yeah. So that's great.
And I don't think I'm ever going to get over that. Like, I still, every time you say that or someone says that, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, and the thing I always think about is, like, this will never be done, because when people turn 18 then we'll have to start vaccinating them, or we might vaccinate teenagers at that stage, but yeah, we're always going to have to be vaccinated, I think, because it's always going to have different variants and stuff. So
if we think about, like, how desperate we were for a vaccine, and it seemed like, you know, it was like this thing off in the distant future, and now 2/3 of us have it.
Most vaccines take like 5 years to come to fruition. So I remember thinking, we're never going to get out of this. But lo and behold, here we are.
Yeah.
Everyone vaccinated. It's great.
It's great.
Also, the number of people in hospital is down to 44.
Amazing.
Which is class. So, so good. 15 people are in intensive care. And basically they're saying the moving average is down 27%. So week on week, we're doing great. Things are moving. It's also not an invitation to ground at each other's houses and lick each other. But it is. We are doing well. Everyone is pulling their weight. So onwards and upwards.
Yeah. Can we talk about antigen testing a little bit? Because I've heard a lot of debate about this over the course of the last couple of weeks. And I can see the argument on both sides.
Yeah, it was. So the reason it came back into the news this week is there was an Oireachtas committee where Dr. Tony Houlihan and Dr. Ronan Gunn appeared. And there was very testy exchanges with TDs and the doctors about antigen testing, because the TDs and a lot of people are saying we should be using antigen testing for things like sports events to get the aviation sector up and running. And what the public health officials are saying is, like, the evidence just isn't there, you know. So there was a very stark moment in the committee where they used tonic water and with an antigen test, and it gave back a positive result. So what they're saying is, it's not that they're skeptical.
Wait, did they actually do a demonstration?
Yeah, the woman there did a demonstration, and
wow.
Yeah, and then they did another one where they used a buffer. It was reported as butter, but it was actually a buffer, and that gave a negative result on a positive.
Hang on, wait. A buffer?
Yeah, so they were able to basically mask the COVID virus from the antigen test.
Okay.
And they're not saying that people would fake it, but they're just saying like that it's possible. So it got pretty heated. There was a lot of back and forth about it, because people, obviously, the aviation sector is on its knees. Mm. They do need support. Other countries are using them, but basically they've just said it's fine for maybe things like meat. They've been using the meat factories and stuff, but they just said we cannot be allowing people to go back to normal, international flights, all that kind of stuff, based on antigen testing, because they reckon it could miss 51% of cases, and that's just not good enough for them.
Okay. Let's talk about the vaccination process, because this week the 35 to 39 age cohort opens. Mm-hmm. But I gather it's going to be maybe a little bit slow.
Yeah, so from tomorrow, if you're 39, you can register for your vaccine, which is really good. But Paul Reid did flag during the week that this is going to be slow, because there are so many people aged not only 39 to 35, but they also have a lot of second doses to give out to the other age groups that have already had it. So he basically said, strap on, because this is going to take a while. It is in one way a good thing, because our vaccine hesitancy rate is very low compared to other countries. We know that America and other places have had real issues with that, whereas in Ireland every age group so far is around 87 to 100% of take up. So that's really, really good. But yeah, he basically said this is going to take a while. But we knew that anyway. You know what I mean? So it's a good thing. So as of this week, so it'll go 39 on Sunday, 30 on Monday, and then they'll start rolling them out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good to, I think it's good to note that, because I have a friend who's in the 40 bracket and she registered a couple of weeks ago and I think she's like losing her mind waiting for her appointment, you know? I've never seen someone talk about being 40 so much in my entire life. And I say that with love. This is nothing against her. And I've heard other friends in the same boat. There's a neighbor of mine is the same. Mm-hmm. And I think it must be hard when you get that kind of chance to register and then you have to wait. But the waiting is normal, it sounds like.
Yeah, it'll be a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good for people to know that. Now, I'm so glad you're here because we have to talk about politics in Northern Ireland and there is no one better to talk to about this, in my opinion, than you. So what's gone on?
Yeah, so turbulent week. I mean, evergreen statement about the North sometimes. But so turbulent week. The new leader of the DUP, Edwin Putz, handed in his resignation after 21 days in the job. He is only the... Ian Paisley, remember? The fourth leader of the DUP in its 50-year history. So changing leaders is a big deal for them anyway. We know that Ian Paisley Sr. was at the helm for a million years. So it basically came... So Edwin Putz is a very fire and brimstone type person. He campaigned for the leadership on this no-nonsense, no-compromise, no Northern Ireland protocol due to Brexit. And basically what happened was... The DUP have already agreed to the Irish Language Act. Mm-hmm. It's been in a number of agreements that they've already signed up to, and it has to happen. Stormont collapsed over this the last time. Mm. There was this new agreement called New Decade, New Approach, which the Irish Language Act is a part of. It was always going to happen. It's always the timing of implementing it. It's always put on the back burner. We'll wait till things get a bit calmer, then we'll try and implement it. Lo and behold, the British government... offered Sinn Féin, they said, we will come in and we will implement it through Westminster like they did with gay marriage and they did with women's bodily autonomy. So Sinn Féin said at the time, no, we want the executive to do it. We want Northern Ireland to implement their own laws. And when Edwin Putz appeared that he would not concede, Sinn Féin said, right, okay, if this will break the deadlock, we'll get Westminster to do it. This caused massive turmoil within the DUP because Edwin Putz had campaigned that he was going to stop all this and he was basically being overrun. And there was a very, very tense meeting the day they were supposed to nominate a first minister. The other weird thing was Edwin Putz was the leader of the DUP but did not want to be first minister. He wanted to stay the Minister for Agriculture, which really annoyed the British government as well. Mm. Because the first minister goes to, meetings and you would have meetings with the Prime Minister and Secretary of State and he wouldn't be there because he wouldn't be the First Minister, he would be the Minister for Agriculture. So he nominated this man called Paul Given, who was going to be the First Minister, and within, there was a 4-hour meeting, there was a quote saying, somebody in the DUP said, I had never seen the like of it in my life, and
that's saying something.
I know. And he resigned. He resigned. The search is on for a new leader. It is most likely going to be Sir Geoffrey Donaldson, who actually ran against Edwin Putz the last time for leadership and was pipped to the post. He's seen as a lot more conciliatory. The other thing we need to worry about is it's coming into marching season. There is a lot of tension about the Northern Ireland Protocol, so we need stability and unionism, because when marching season comes and if trouble flares up, they need community leaders who are in the DUP to talk to the people on the ground. So ideally they need to find someone very, very soon, because we can't have this kind of stalemate in the DUP.
Yeah, because there's no doubt that everything that's happened with Brexit and the Northern Ireland Protocol has had a real impact on unionists and their identity and the way that they feel about their country and themselves. And like, you can't, no matter what side of anything you're on, you can't ignore that. Like, that's a reality.
Yeah, and ignoring people's identities has never worked.
No.
And telling people to get over it also doesn't work.
No. Okay, let's talk, unfortunately, about homophobia, because unfortunately, we have seen, I have 3 separate friends who this week experienced homophobia firsthand. Like, whether it's someone shouting something at them or, mostly people shouting things at them, actually, to be honest. And then, obviously, we've seen some homophobic graffiti in Dublin and in Waterford now this week. There's been issues as well.
Yeah, so Waterford Council flew the Pride flag because we're in Pride Month. Someone cut it down in the middle of the night and I think set it on fire. So the council were like, this is disappointing, got another flag, put it back up, and the same thing happened again. Then posters, they were also the graphic design. I know that's not the point, but the posters were put up around Waterford that said Straight Pride, and it was a picture of a man and a woman on their wedding day. And it was like, it's worked for hundreds of years and you can have babies. I mean, gay people can have babies too. But anyway, so this is an ongoing issue now in Waterford. So the Minister for Equality, Roger Gormand, who also happens to be a very happily married straight man, or gay man, sorry. So he's going to visit and you talk about, he said he wants to send a clear message that there is no room for homophobia. Yeah. It is not representative of the people of Waterford. You know, had all the TDs out, like the council out saying these doesn't represent us. They're doing a big Pride Month in Waterford as well. And loads, I did see that this is quite nice, but after all this happened, all local businesses all started flying Pride flags outside their businesses to show support. And I think it is disappointing for the people of Waterford and they shouldn't be judged on this at all, because it's not anything to do with them.
What we know based on even just, you know, the marriage equality referendum is that the vast majority of people in Ireland are not homophobic, or certainly are not overtly homophobic in the way that these kind of displays indicate. But it kind of doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's only three people going around cutting down flags and burning them or putting up posters or graffitiing, you know, the wall outside Panty Bar or all of the things that have been going on. It doesn't matter, because it's felt by every single gay person or queer person on this island. And so, you know, we have to take it really seriously.
And it's also like, you hear people giving off saying like, why do you need Pride Month? And then things like this happen and you're like, this is exactly why we need Pride Month. People, gay people, trans people, whoever it is, need to know that they're accepted in Ireland, and that's why we need Pride Month. And there needs to be education about it, because there might be four or five very scared and insecure small people doing this, but think of how many people actually see that and think that that's how people feel about them, and it's not.
Exactly. Let's talk about booze, Aoife, because according to the WHO, I think you can clarify this for me, you and I should not be drinking ever.
This is the other thing. Right, we'll get into it. So the the WHO has been criticised because they put out this report on, like, it was like their action on alcohol from 2022 to 2030. And in it, they said that appropriate attention should be given for to the prevention of drinking for children, fine, adolescents, pregnant women, fine, women of childbearing age. Right, who decides what is childbearing? Because people have kids when they're 15, people have kids when they're 50. Who's deciding what's childbearing age? And also, so am I not supposed to be drinking from 15 to 45? The thing is, right, we can laugh and be like, this is so ridiculous, but the WHO is a very powerful, very influential organisation, and a number of different groups have come out and said, listen, you've come way over your remit here. That's not even, it's not actionable. It was just a statement and then it was moved on. Basically, telling women what they can and cannot do with their bodies. Also, what if you don't want to have any children?
Exactly.
Loads of women don't want to have any children. When I read it, I was like, this is like something from like the 1950s.
Or The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. It's wild.
So there has been quite a lot of backlash from like the British Pregnancy Advisory Service, who obviously would be advising a woman of childbearing age what they're supposed to do if they wanted to have children. They basically said that it was extremely disturbing and that they needed an urgent review. And even the British... There was a council about social responsibility on alcohol, and they were also very confused by this advice and said that, you know, there needs to be a review here because we don't know why.
It would be great if there could be less talk about how women shouldn't act in their childbearing years and more talk about how to support women when they actually have children. Like, maybe if we could dedicate even like 15% of the time we spend talking about what women shouldn't do when they're of childbearing age to like supporting women who actually have children, then I think we'd be in a better situation.
It could be a much better situation.
Before I let you go, just very quickly, Joe Biden has signed a law making Juneteenth a national holiday. So for people who don't know, what is Juneteenth?
Yeah, so Juneteenth, it has been celebrated by African American people for a long time, but now it's been made a federal holiday. And basically, it's not the abolition of slavery in general. It was the abolition of slavery in Texas, because it took 2 years from the abolition. Texas was the last place to abolish it. So in 1862, became known as Juneteenth, and it was the last kind of abolition of slavery in a state. So, yeah, Americans have celebrated it anyway. I think Barack Obama was the first president to, you know, wish people a happy Juneteenth and, like, take it more seriously. Mm. And now Joe Biden has made it a federal holiday. It's the first federal holiday to be created since Martin Luther King Day. So it's like 40 years ago. Yeah. And basically he just said, you know, America's original sin is slavery and there's no point ignoring this. And we need to celebrate the end of it and recognize the harm that it did. So yeah, it's a good thing. I'm sure there are racists who will be very upset about it, but I think it's a good thing.
Well, let them be upset. Juneteenth is today. So I'm sure there will be big celebrations in America today. Okay, Aoife, thank you so much. That's Aoife Moore, political correspondent for the Irish Examiner. Now, Aoife, Ellen is back next week. So I'm not going to be speaking to the Beyonce of Derry every week. But I hope you will come back when Ellen needs to take time off. And we'll definitely have you back on the show. You have been absolutely amazing. People absolutely love you. I constantly hear from people who tell me how much they love you. They love your accent. They love your take on the news. So thank you so much for being such a big part of the show over the last however long it's been.
Thanks.
A long time. Thank you for being one of my truest companions in this pandemic.
Going from it'll be the Beyonce of Derry to the Beyonce of Waterford. Ellen can be the Beyonce of Waterford.
Well, we'll see.
Thank you so
Maybe
much.
Maybe she can grow into that title. But thank you, truly. I can't thank you enough. And I can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
We'll have to, when it's all, we'll have to go for lunch or something.
Yeah.
Like real people. We've never been able to do that.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.